You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramah Beis Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha Tzitzaveh, and we have the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. We have the clothing of the Kohanim, the priests, and I'd like to focus in right after that on what the Pasuk says, speaks about the inauguration of the Kohanim into their priesthood. Into becoming Kohanim, which of course lasts till this very day. The Kohanim today, any Kohanim that we have, they are invested in this, with this power of being priests because of something that we find in this week's parasha. As he says in Perchav Tes Pasuk Aleph, chapter 29, verse 1. V'zeh adavar asher tasa lehem l'kadish v'yisam l'chayin li. This is the matter which you are to do, and I want to focus on the word zeh hadavar, because the Medrash is going to speak about the word davar a lot. This is the davar, this is the matter, or maybe this is the word, as we'll see, that you are to do to them in order to sanctify them to be Kohanim, to be priests for me. The psukim go on to give a number of different things that are to be done, that will be done for the Kohanim or by the Kohanim in order to inaugurate them into their holiness, their special holiness that they are to serve on behalf of the Jewish people in our relationship with Hashem in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. And of course, they also bless us. There's lots of things that the Kohanim do. They teach us. They are teachers. But I'd like to focus in on this matter of Davar, the word Davar, which means a word, or it can mean a matter, or it can mean a thing. So what is the concept here that the Torah is teaching us in the inauguration of the Kohanim as Kohanim? And we're going to see, interestingly, this Medrash connects us to the story of Mordechai. We're about to come into the holiday of Purim. Purim is next week on Monday night. Tuesday, and if you're in Jerusalem, so it's Wednesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday. And in the story of Purim, there's a central moment, a moment which seems to be the moment of redemption. Haman HaRasha, the evil Haman who wants to destroy the entire Jewish people, he has this idea to hang Mordechai on a gallows 50 cubits high, 50 amas high. And he comes into Achashverosh, he comes into the king and is very excited about his idea, and Achashverosh instead turns it on him and says, hey, what do you do for somebody that you want to do, you know, show your appreciation for it? And it turns out that whereas Haman was coming in to ask for the destruction and the death of Mordechai, Achashverosh told him to take Mordechai and to show him honor. And he did so by placing him on a horse, dressing him in royal clothing and saying, this is what's done to somebody who the king wants to show his appreciation to. And in that moment, it's the turnaround moment of the story. That's the moment where it's clear that Mordechai and Esther and the Jewish people are going to come out on top, and that Haman and Amalek and all the enemies of the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. But in that moment, there's something odd that happens. Mordechai gets down off of the horse, and we would think that he would start celebrating. But that's not what he does. The Pasuk says that he returns to the entrance, the Shar HaMelech, the gate of the king, and he puts on, as Chazal explained, he returns to where he was before. He goes back to his sackcloth, back to his ashes, back to his mourning, and his tefillah, as we'll see, his prayer, he returns to it. And of course the question is why? If everything is turning around already and it's clear and all the signs are headed in the right direction, why does he go back to his prayer? Why does he go back to his sackcloth? So hold on to that question for a moment, because we're going to focus in a bit on the concept of the davar, the word. And we'll see that it's connected, of course, to Mordechai, to prayer, to the tefillahs that he was saying on behalf of the Jewish people for our salvation. And it's connected to the way that the Kohen is inaugurated into his purpose, into his job, into his priesthood, through the concept of prayer, through the concept of what can be accomplished with one's words. Let's see this together. V'zeh hadavar, says the Medrash. And this is the matter. This is the word. This is the thing that's done in order to inaugurate the priest. Hadav d'chsiv kechu imachem dvarim. The pasuk says, take with you words. It's a pasuk in Hosea, chapter Yudalit, pasuk Gimel, chapter 14, verse 3. Kechu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. You want to know how to get back to Hashem, which is, we're always just trying to get back to our real place, which is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you get back to Hashem? Take with you words. Words are the tool that a person can use in order to connect to Hashem. Zeh Shomer Kosov, Erchatz B'Nikayon Kapai. Pasuk refers to entering into the place of Hashem, into the Mishkan, the sanctuary of Hashem. How do you do that? You have to clean your hands. King David tells us, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Chavav, pasuk Pesukim Vav and Zayin. I'm going to clean my hands. I'm going to make sure I'm clean, which is another way of saying I'm going to do tshuva. I'm going to get rid of all of my mistakes. I'm going to fix my mistakes. Right? How does it finish off? It says, Lashmia bekol toida, to make heard with my voice, thanks. Right? There's lots of things I can do with my words. I can, as we'll see, I'm going to learn Torah with my words. I'm going to have conversations like these that we're having together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to daven. I'm going to reaffirm my connection to Hashem and my belief that His power is that which is anything that I need in life is coming from Him. That's what tefillah is, prayer is. There's another aspect, which is the concept of haidah, of thanking God, of saying thank you, Hashem, of showing my appreciation, which really means I'm showing that it's not me. That's what haidah means. Moedim anachnu lach, we bow before Hashem. We say thank you, Hashem, which really means I'm saying it's not me. I admit that I can't do it by myself. Yachol af lakrib parim ve'elim. So how do you get in to the sanctuary of Hashem, which means how do I get into a real relationship with Hashem? You might think that it's only done by bringing korbanos, by bringing sacrifices. No. The way in is by making my voice heard in thanks. Using my words to say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, God. I admit that it's you. The Fisher Yisrael, I mean, Ribbono Olam. Klal Yisrael says like this, okay, look. I'll add, it doesn't just mean to thank, it means to admit. Right, lahoidois means to thank. It also means to admit. It can mean I admit that I can't do it without you. It can also mean I admit that I've done something wrong. Right, I admit that I've made mistakes. Hashem, help me get back to you. Okay. B'shei Yisrael, I'm in Ribbono Olam, and Anasim Choytim Avim Korban Miskapalem. Klal Yisrael says to Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Master of the World, to God. They say, look, we find the Pesukim speak about the fact that if a nasi is a prince, makes a mistake. So he can bring a carbon, he can bring a sacrifice, and it can be atoned for. Mashiach chayde mevi carbon miskaper loy. Someone who's anointed, meaning a priest, a kohen. So if he makes a mistake, if he sins, so he can bring a carbon, he can bring a sacrifice, get back into a relationship with Hashem, atone for himself. Anu elanu carbon. What about us? Do we have any carbonus that we can bring? What about Klal Yisrael? Are there carbonus? Can we fix our mistakes? So he says, there's a pasuk that says, if we make a mistake, we can bring, there's a karbanos that can be brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people. So the Jewish people say, hey, wait a second, we're poor. We don't have the money for these animals. What do? I would say, we're in a time when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash currently, hopefully soon, but right now we don't. So what do? How do we bring the carbon? How do we get back into our relationship with Hashem? So Hashem says, I request of you to use your words. Use your words. It can be haida, it can be vidui. I use my words to admit I've done something wrong. I use my words to thank Hashem for the things that I have. I recognize it's from Him. Pasuk says, take words, use words as your means to return to Hashem. And I will forgive you of all your sins. Another place that we find the word dvarim, which means words, it's also, besides for the fact that it's the voice that's heard in admission, admitting I've done wrong, it's also used in the concept of the words of Torah. Shenemar Eila Hadvar Mashir Dibra Moshe. He says, these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. So, what's the idea? Simply, in this context, when I learn Torah, when I listen to a Dvar Torah, when I speak out a Dvar Torah, what I'm doing is I am developing inside of myself that spiritual sensitivity. What is it that Hashem wants? What is Hashem's will? What does God want from me? What does Hashem expect from me? How do I get into a place of submitting myself to Hashem's will? That's what Divrei Torah are. Words of Torah. Words of Torah. Amalei, ain't any item. So Klal Yisrael says, we don't know any Torah. We're not big Talmidei Chachamim. We're not great Torah scholars. We don't know this stuff. Amalehem. So Hashem responds and says, okay, you can do vidui, you can learn Torah, but I'll tell you another trick. I'll tell you another, or a deeper maybe. If you don't have anything else, you don't have that intellectual ability. So here's what you do. Amar lehem, b'chu v'ispalu l'fanei v'ani mekabel. All you need to do, you need to have some emotional ability. Cry. You got to cry and you got to pray. And if you do that, I'll receive, I will listen to your prayers. And what are we crying and praying about? Let's be clear. The fact that we're distant from Hashem. The fact that we're disconnected. You know, every problem that we have, we can really draw it back to the fact that we're disconnected from Hashem. Oh, I don't have money? Well, I'm disconnected from Hashem. That's maybe why this is a problem for me. Or any problem. But get back to, how do we get back to Hashem? Cry and pray. Hashem, help me. Hashem, I feel desperation. Help me. Avisechem kishinishtavdu b'mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael felt desperation in Egypt. Lebetfilo padisiyasam. They cried out. It was their prayers that caused them to be redeemed. Shenemar vayionchu b'nei Yisrael min avoyda vayizaku. Klal Yisrael groaned from the work and they called out to Hashem. That's one example. And the Medrash brings another example, which I'd like to actually expand upon. It's very interesting. But I want us to keep holding on to the first things that I mentioned to you, that this is the foundation of what it means to be a priest, to be a Kohen. This is it. This is the matter. This is the word. This is what their job is, right? To get us to do vidui, to get rid of our sins, right? That's what we're coming in there to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary mainly to do, to reestablish our relationship with Hashem and get rid of the mistakes that we've made. Right, so the Kohanim are the ones who, they help us with that. They facilitate that relationship. So this is the foundation of it. Vidui, admitting our mistakes, thanking Hashem, words of Torah, they teach us. And here we have prayer. We use our words for prayer, tefillah, crying, awakening our emotions. We find that to be true in Egypt. I'll give you another example. Bimei Yehoshua. The days of Joshua, listen to this, it's really interesting. Was it not through prayer that I did miracles for them? And before I read the quote from the Pesukim, I'll just give you a little background what's going on there. Yehoshua leads Klal Yisrael into the land of Israel. First entrance of the Jewish people as a nation into the land of Israel. And we're coming to conquer, to destroy all the idolaters, to kill out the people of Canaan. The Canaanite nations who were here, and to establish a kingdom of people who believe in one God, will have the most powerful impact on the world, perhaps in history. What happens when we come in? The first place that we conquer is Jericho. Completely miraculous. They surround the city seven times around. Walls come tumbling down. Destroy. Kill out the people of Jericho. Don't take a single item out of the spoils. Don't take any of the bounty of Jericho. It's not permitted. Jewish people move on to the next city, which was called Ai. And in that battle, the first time they battle against Ai, 36 Jews are killed. And Yehoshua is stunned because he has a promise. No one will be killed in battle. Hashem is on our side. Nothing happened in Jericho and Yericho, right? Why did this happen? Let me read this to you inside. Ve'yikra Yehoshua, Simloisav, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk. When he hears about it, he rends his garments. He tears his clothes in mourning, in sadness. How could it be that 36 people died? And the Pasuk tells us, we look inside, and the Pesukim is not here in the Medrash, but looking it up, we see that the Pesukim tells us that Hashem says to Yehoshua, the reason that 36 people died was because there was somebody who took from the spoils. And that somebody was somebody named Achan. Achan took from the spoils. And as a result of that, the Jewish people lost that full connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and 36 people died. There's a whole process where they figure out who it was that made this judgmental error. They get rid of the problem. Achan is killed. And they return to Ai, and they're able to conquer Ai. Hashem gives them very specific instructions. Umar ma amarti loy, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Nitei Bakidoin. What did I say to Yehoshua? I said Nitei Bakidoin. Nitei Bakidoin is very interesting, what it means. What they do is, they set up an ambush. The Jewish people set up an ambush for the people of Ai. The people of Ai all leave the city. 12,000 of them, they all leave the city. They don't know that the Jewish people are lying in ambush. They think, oh, we have already been able to attack and kill some Jews. We're going to finish off the job. That's what the people of Ai thought. They come out of the city. Hashem instructs Yehoshua to send people in to the city. They start burning the city, and smoke starts to rise from the city. The people of Ai look back, and they see this spectacle, and they're like, they get befuddled. They become muvhal, confused. Hashem says, at that moment, what you are to do, Yehoshua, is to take a romach, take a dagger, and lift up the romach in the air, lift up the dagger. And that will be the sign for the people, the Jewish people who are lying in ambush, to come out and ambush the people of Ai and destroy them, which is what happened. But now, here's the interesting thing. The Teba Kidain, hold up your dagger, it was symbolic, as the Mefarshim here explained. It was a symbol, of course, for them to ambush, but it was also symbolic of the fact that they are to focus themselves, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu held up his hands while the Jewish people were fighting with Amalek. It was to remind them that Hashem is the one who is fighting on their behalf. Hashem's power is inside of them. So too, Yehoshua holds up the dagger, and the dagger being held up is to point to the heavens, to remind them in battle that it's Hashem who's battling on their behalf. And he's instructed to not take down his hand. He held up his hand with the romach, with the dagger, the entire time that they were battling, until they vanquished their enemies, till the Jewish people completely won. Never stop praying, it's Hashem who's doing it for me. Bezrat Hashem, yachad nenatzeach. With Hashem's help, we will succeed. Never stop saying that. Never stop saying it. Never stop praying. Never stop davening for Hashem to help me. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is, I can't do it by myself. Hashem, please, you do it for me. But it can't stop. Just because you started the business, the tefillah doesn't end there. The tefillah does not end just because you started. Hashem, help me out, and now I'm going to do it on my own. No. You got to keep davening. Keep praying through whatever it is that you need to accomplish. Yeshua is holding up that romach. He's holding up the dagger to remind them it's Hashem who's helping you. No, keep praying. And he holds it up, and he holds it up, and he holds it up. The sign is to remind them to keep holding on to that. The Medrash brings a number of other examples of this. And then the Medrash speaks about the fact that this is what happened also in the time. We're going to now return to Mordechai and Haman, and we're going to also return to the Kohanim, the priests. And we're going to keep bringing it back to that, because this is who they are, and this is who we are supposed to be. We're a Mamleches Kohanim. we're a kingdom of priests, which means a goy kadosh. Mamlech is kind of a goy kadosh. We're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, which means that we're connected to Hashem. That's what we are. We are a people of prayer. This is who we are. No matter what we're doing, we're constantly davening. We don't stop. Not for a moment, not when it even looks like we're about to succeed, we keep up our davening. The Medrash says over here, brings us back to the story of Purim. It says, Rabbi Yoim Ve'egarsh Mipanech Oyev. Pasuk says, Hashem is going to get rid of our enemies. Hashem is going to expel from our faces, from in front of us, our enemies. Zeh Haman. This is a reference to Haman. Haman HaRasha. Haman who wanted to destroy the Jewish people in one fell swoop, from children to elderly men, women, children, everybody. Shemar Ish Tzar Ve'oyev Haman. He was an Ish Tzar, an oppressor and an enemy. So he is the one that the Pasuk, when it says, Vayigarsh Mipanecha Oyev, Pasuk says that Hashem is going to get rid of our enemies. It's referring to Haman, it's referring to that particular individual or any individual who wants to destroy us, heaven forbid. They're going to be pushed away. And we can think about the individuals today who are similar to Haman. I just saw, I have to mention it. Someone created, usually I have Haman Tashin, Ozne Haman. Someone created Ayatollah, not Tashin. Was Nayatollah. Too funny. But Hashem will push away any of our enemies, because these enemies are not just our enemies. Why is he called a tsar, an oppressor, and an oyev, an enemy? He is an oppressor of the one who dwells on high, of the heavenly forces, Klal Yisrael. When we're doing what we're supposed to do, of course, we are the ones who represent Hashem in the world, right? The enemies of the Jewish people are trying to push away those who represent Hashem in the world. They're enemies, oppressors of the one above. And they're enemies of those below. That's us. Okay. Now I'm going to bring it to the end of this Medrash. Still a bit left. Still have some time. The Pasuk says, Vata Abba Masemit Sidroi. Pasuk says in Devarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chavtes, that we, the Jewish people, will trample the platforms of our enemies. Right? What's a bama? It's a platform. A platform was used in those times as an altar to sacrifice to their gods, to the idolatry. We will trample their idolatries. We will trample their power. Right? They used idols as a means to get power. We will trample them. What's that referring to? Bimei Mordechai. It's referring to the days of Mordechai. Shenemar v'yikach Haman ha-salavush v'esasus. Right? What happened? Mordechai was trying to get up on the Gemara Megillah says Mordechai is trying to get up onto the horse. He's wearing the clothes, wearing the royal garments. He's about to get up on the horse. There's no way to get up. Haman leans over and Mordechai steps on him, gives him a good kick and gets up onto the horse. So it's representative of the fact that we trample our enemies. Ultimately, Hashem gives us the power to trample those who are trying to take away Hashem's power. Who's the one that caused Mordechai to get, what is it or what was it that Mordechai, what chus did he have, what merit did he have to get to the point where he could trample on Haman, where he could kick him down? It's because he prayed every moment. From the beginning of the story until the end of the story, he did not stop davening. Pasuk says, Mordechai knew that which was going on. That's talking about at the beginning when Haman gave the money to Achashverosh. So that was like, as it were, a payment or a bribe to be able to do whatever he wanted with the Jews. Mordechai knew about it, and he puts on his sackcloth, and he starts davening, he starts praying. So he davened, and he didn't stop. What's the proof that he didn't stop? Even though he sees himself being lifted up, he's sitting on that horse. This is what will be done to a person who the king wants to show him honor, who the king values him, right? The gig is up, right? He's clearly on top. Haman is clearly on bottom. But he didn't allow it to, he didn't feel a gaiva. He didn't feel lifted up by it in an unhealthy way. He didn't stop davening. He did not stop davening. And the Yashav Mordechai, Pasuk says, he went back to his place in the gate of the king. It means, right, think about it as a Shar HaMelech of Hashem's Shar, Hashem's gate, the ultimate king. He goes back to the gates of prayer. As he was before. Pasuk says, V'nasan Hashem lakecha, he's called Alei Sa'ela. The curses that seem to be on their way to the Jewish people, they don't end up happening to the Jewish people. They end up landing upon our enemies. And we don't have to think very far to think about how a gallows is raised for Mordechai and a gallows is raised by the Iranians, the Ayatollah, a nuclear program which ultimately will be the source of their own destruction. But Hashem promises all of the curses that seem to be heading towards you will end up upon your enemies. Those who chase after you. You think that you're going to stop davening? Love. Don't stop davening. Looks like things are heading in the right direction. Nasrallah is killed. The Hamas is weakened. It seems like everything's headed in the right direction. Don't stop davening. Mordechai, things look good. Don't stop davening. Don't stop praying. The Pasuk says, even when you see that your enemies are getting crushed, you come back and listen to the voice of Hashem. You come back, go back to what it is. What is your power? It's in prayer. Come back in tshuva. Come back to the words, to the vidui. No, it's not me. No, I made a mistake. Admission of mistakes. Admit it all. Hashem, no, I want to just be connected to you. I don't want my heart to be, I don't want to feel like, wow, it's me. No, don't get stuck in that trap. Do what Mordechai did. He returned. Vayoshev. He returns. We gotta return. He went back to his mourning. He went back to his sackcloth. He went back to his ties, which really means to say that he recognized that I've made mistakes and those mistakes can still affect me spiritually. It's all about just being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. All I need is a connection to Hashem and all of my problems fall away. Here too it says, Zehadavar. Also coming, now we're coming back. Okay, so Mordechai doesn't stop davening. He keeps it. That's the only thing. We gotta keep davening. Even when things are good, when things are bad, just keep davening. It's just about being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the inauguration of the Kohanim. This is what it looks like. This is who the Kohanim are. This is who the priests are. This is who we are. Zehadavar. This is the word. Aaron also messed up. Aaron HaKohen, the high priest, there's a mistake that he made. He allowed the Jewish people, he facilitated the Jewish people's sin of the golden calf. Aaron, the son of Hashem, Hashem was ready to destroy him. Hashem was very angry. He was ready to destroy Aaron. The ultimate disconnect. But Hashem says, I'm going to listen to prayers. Moshe Rabbeinu davens on behalf of Aaron. The tefillah is what saves him. The danger is there. It's there because we're disconnected from Hashem. It's there. Start davening. Start davening. Get back into connection. Use your davar. Use your word. Zeha davar. How does it happen that he is indeed anointed, chosen to be the facilitator of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's through the Dover, it's because of the Tfilas. And the Tfilas, unceasing Tfilas. The Kohanim, that's who they are. They're the ones who've been praying on behalf of the Jewish people for 3,300 years, not stopping. Not stopping till this day. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael, every single day you get a bracha. You get a prayer from them that you should succeed. Why? Because it started with Aaron. No, we won't be destroyed. We've become disconnected back into connection. Zeh HaDavar, through the word. Through prayer, through tefillah, through divrei Torah, through words of Torah, through vidui, through admitting our mistakes. Back in. Back in. Don't stop. It's not over. Even when it's over, it's not over. It's not over till it's over. It's not over, ever. Back into tefillah. Back in to connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us that we should be able to indeed to see that it's all about this connection. Hashem should help us to be able to pray, to daven, to admit our mistakes. Hashem should help us to learn His Torah. Hashem should help us to have the kind of salvation today that the Jewish people had in the times of Purim. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.